Last night, I was struggling with putting these scriptures on the PowerPoint. I was ready to take a hammer to that computer. Thanks for the worship, by the way. How many appreciate the worship? Bless you guys. And I struggled probably for an hour and a half at least. It felt like 2 hours. Because it wouldn't fit the screen, and I don't know what the wrong thing was. I don't know who poured something into that thing, but it just would not cooperate. So finally, I called my son and said, Paul, you got to come and help me because this thing is not cooperating. So he came, and guess what we did? We turned it off, turned it back on. So if you want my computer expertise, turn it off, turn it back on. Anyway, here is the message, participating in his suffering. And again, it comes out of Romans chapter 8. Let me share this with you. I've been talking for a number of Sundays about becoming sons of God. Going from being orphans to becoming sons of God. And the number one was that you recognize what God thinks of you. Number two, that you submit to his will. Number three, that you are open to correction. The Bible says that those who are sons and daughters of God will be disciplined by God. That means they are open to corrections. And the fourth one, God has a mission for you. How many knows that he has a mission? That it's not your own mission, it's his mission for your life. And today, and then last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago, I preached about the inheritance that's available to you. And today, I want to preach about embracing his sufferings as your own. I know some of you are thinking, I wish I hadn't come to church today. But it's a message that is very much in the New Testament. And so in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 14, I want us to read it together. This, I have the two versions. This is the Passion Translation. How many have ever read the Passion Translation? It is the newest one and is very profound, I think. The mature children of God, how about we read it together? The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit and do not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirit join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being glorified with him, provided we accept his sufferings as his own. Now, in the new NIV in Romans chapter 8, it says that we consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And it talks about participating in his sufferings. Some of you are thinking, I came to know Jesus so I wouldn't have to suffer. So what is this? I'm going to read James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy when you face what? Trials. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God's rest on you. 1 Peter 2:20 says, but if you suffer, that's 1 Peter 2:20, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. Excuse me. You were called to suffer. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled the insult at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he did what? Just go to the next one. Hallelujah. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. My friends, what is this? What is he talking about? What is this kind of suffering? How many knows there's different sufferings? There's physical, there's mental, emotional sufferings. And there's sufferings that is caused by you. There's sufferings that are simply bad choices. I remember as a seven-year-old, I dived off an Olympic diving board, and because there was an Olympic stadium, and we had friends, my sisters had friends, and we could go swimming in this pool, and there was a, I can't remember because I was seven, but it was a five-meter diving board. It could have been three, but in my mind, it was five. And I couldn't swim all that well, and I dived off the board, and I did a belly flop. Now, if you do a belly flop from that, it just burns. But why did I do it? I was going to show off. There was some real audience that I need to impress. Some of you have some scars from poor choices. How many have some scars from poor choices? And that's not the kind of suffering that this is about. I remember, too, a woman came to me once. And she said, Hans, I'm worried about my job. And I said, why are you worried about your job? You just got a new job. She said, I just got a new job. And it's a good job. It's a perfect. But I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it. Why are you afraid you're going to lose it? Because every other job I ever had, I lost it. And she's right. Whenever she had, and she was intelligent, she has degrees, she had studied, she had gone to university for 7 years, she had everything going for her, but when she had a job, there was a crisis, things went wrong, and before I knew it, she didn't have the job. She left angry, or they actually fired her. She got now a new job, perfectly fitting, and so she was afraid she was going to lose that too, so I said, maybe you need to ask God to show you if there is some things in you that need to change. And you say, what? Possibility there's an attitude in your heart that needs to be changed. She looked at me blank and said, thank you for the advice. And she walked out. Within a year, she was on medical leave and she never had a job again. That kind of suffering is caused by an attitude that you can't blame on somebody else. How many know that's true? But that's not the suffering that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about suffering that comes because now you're stepping out for Jesus. But I got to be careful what I say. How many knows there is suffering that comes from simply life? Some of you have aches in your body and you have, you know, things happen. Some of you are victims of things that happened. But when it comes to the suffering, it's actually embracing the suffering that Jesus experienced as your own. And I need to explain that. What kind of suffering did Jesus experience? Well, let me remind you that Jesus was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's God. He comes from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, he comes and descends into a barn. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. My friends, the first thing that Jesus experienced was that he was not going to be honored and accepted for who he really is and was. How many believe that? He did not come and people waved flags and honored him and there was a parade. There is the king coming. No, he was an obscure place of a barn among cow dung. That's how he came. Dishonored, not honored. And my friends, some of the pain and suffering you're going to experience as a walk with God is you're not always going to be honored and appreciated the way you really deserve. How many has ever experienced that? Somebody else took credit for your job. And sometimes you have labored for 10 years in a Sunday school class and nobody actually came and said thanks to you. There is going to be suffering that happens simply because people don't recognize you, but God does. Amen. God does. There's times when Jesus let go of his comfort. And he says, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to put his head. There's times, my friends, when you got to let go of your comfort. The gospel is not given to us, and I'm speaking to the North American culture, it's not given to us to make us more comfortable. It's given to us to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, sometimes there's a price to pay. Sometimes there's a price to pay. How many believe that? Some of you paid a price just even getting up to going to church this morning. Jesus was betrayed by his own. Even his own family, even his brothers and his mom didn't understand who he was until later. And some of you are going to have family members who don't really understand you. They may even mock you, and they mocked me. My sister mocked me. And I remember going home to Denmark, and I was sitting down for a meal, and they handed me a beer. That's common where I come from. I said, no thanks. Oh, you're getting holy for us. You're getting too holy. What kind of cult do you belong to? And I had to explain. It wasn't a cult. It was a decision I had to make. And my sister came to me, up to me one time. She said, so did you fall out of a tree and hurt yourself? Is that why you turned to Jesus? I was mocked, but they no longer mocked me because they seen there is a genuineness in my walk. And Jesus had friends, disciples, and one of them betrayed him. My friends, when you enter into a family of believers, there's going to be people who may not treat you very kindly. They have issues, they have stuff going on in their life, and they may actually sometimes backstab you. Are you then going to walk out and say, I'm not going to ever come back to that church. I'm never going to talk to that person again. How are you going to do what Jesus did? What did he do to Judas? He washed his feet. He had communion with him. He had fellowship with the very person that he knew was going to betray him. Are you going to pay the price that he paid in relationships with his own? Or are you going to take your bitterness and offense and walk out? There is a suffering that comes with forgiving and letting go. There's a suffering that comes with embracing what Jesus did and turn your cheek to your enemy. There is a price. How many has ever had to pay the price? And there is a price. There is a price when God convicts you and says, I don't think you treated that person as Jesus treated that person. And you need to humble yourself and eat that humble pie. How many has ever had to eat some humble pie? Because you realize, oops, that sermon was for me. And I better go and make that phone call. I'm not preaching to you as much as I'm preaching to myself, because I had to do that a few times. In fact, the other day, I had to get some flowers for somebody. Because I had said something I shouldn't have said. So if you get flowers from me, you know why. Jesus came to the cross. And you know what happened at the cross? He laid down his reputation. He laid down his crown. He laid down everything and said, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. There came a point where he actually would have rather not gone there. But he knew that the Father's will was for him to go on the cross. And he saw his loved ones walk away in fear. He saw those he loved abandon him. But he never once forsook what he was called to do. For one reason and one reason only. So that you and I can be saved. He did it out of love. For you and I, he laid down his life so you can have life. And he's asking that we embrace that suffering so that we also can lay down our life for one another. That cost. There is a price to be paid. It's not just eating cream puffed. It is picking up the load and carry it with one another. My friends, I'm speaking to a very much a North American culture that loves the messages of love and peace and forgiveness, but really has a hard time with a message that's going to cost you. Do you know how much it's going to cost you? Everything. I was just reading a book by Hudson Taylor. How many have heard of Hudson Taylor? My wife is going to Indonesia, and they ask her if she needed to read these books to prepare her for her mission trip. and one is Hudson Taylor. And when I was a teacher in Christian school, we used that as a textbook. One of them, Paul was in my class, and we read about Hudson Taylor. And now the son of Hudson Taylor wrote another book, and I was listening to that story. And I want to tell you this, because wherever the gospel went, it went on the back of people who were willing to sacrifice. And Hudson Taylor felt a call to be in China, to go and be a missionary in China. This is 1850, okay? This is not with first-class airplanes, okay? This is boats for 3 months. And he goes there as 21 years old, has to learn a language, goes into the unknown territory, dresses like a Chinese, gets beaten up. He has medical training. He brings his medical training. They beat him up. They steal his stuff. They take everything. At the same time, his mission that is supposed to support him has dried up. There is no money for him. He's broke. What do you think you do then? Do you know Apostle Paul? He says, I asked 3 times for him to remove this thorn. Remember that? And what did God say? My grace is sufficient. There's a grace that's available to you in all circumstances. And God provided for Hudson Taylor. Let me just give you one more story about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor had an amazing ministry in China, but we rarely hear about his sacrifice. He lost a wife. He lost a son on the mission field. He was laying, and I want to say this. This is, hear me. He was laying in bed in England because he had broken. He had fallen down and broken something in his leg, and he couldn't walk. So he laid in bed for 6 months. When he laid in bed in 6 months, he heard that some of his missionary friends had been killed in China. The woman who looked after the children was sick and resigned from her job. There was false accusation given against him. And so the money was drying out. He was laying in bed, depressed. And he got a little card from a friend. I'm sharing this with you because God never abandons you in the midst of your trials. He never does. He never does. And in the card it said, friend, I have stopped striving and I'm beginning to trust. I found a resting place in you, God. He shares in his letter. And I have so much peace. And Hudson Taylor, who feels the weight of the mission in China, says, that's for me. And he finds a resting place in God where he realizes it is no longer him who cares for the Chinese people. There's a place when you experience suffering. There's a resting place in God where it's no longer about what you do. It's about what he does. And you're able to surrender. You're still doing it. But now you know it's not your abilities. But Paul says in that same passage in First Corinthians chapter 12, when he says that when I'm weak, then I am
strong.
What is he saying is that sometimes we come to the ends of our own abilities, and it's God's ability. And one of the keys, my friends, for trials is to bring us to that place. How many has experienced it? How many is tired of experiencing it? I'm going to I got a few more stories I want to tell. How many is following what I'm trying to say? How many understand that there's something that God asks of us to embrace? We often think of these heroes of faith. But can I just say something? We have lost the next generation. We lost them. We lost the next generation. And I don't want to put a black thing on this, but in the schemes of things, on the whole, I'm not talking about this church particularly, I'm talking about the church universally in North America, in the Western culture, has lost the next generation. I had to come to Canada to hear the gospel in a country that was founded on Christianity. I had to come here. When we used to talk to the kids at Kids Zone, they don't know who Jesus is. Paul in the youth group, they know Jesus as a swear word. My friends, what happened? I don't know what happened, but I know this. There were parents who just stopped actually caring. They didn't want to pay the price. Why should I go to church? Why should I bring them to Kids Zone? Why should we pray together? Why should I read the Bible together? Let them do whatever they want to do. They will discover it whenever they can discover it. And in the schools today, my friends, they are preaching to them. I don't know, this may be the wrong word to use, but they are telling them things that is definitely against the things of God. And they come home and they have questions, and there is no mom and dad who has answers. The way I came to know Jesus was my son had questions. Who is God? Where is he? Where does he belong? What does he look like? And my wife said, I don't really know how to answer these questions. Let's find out. And because she said, let's find out, I'm standing here. My friends, there is a call on the church to rise up and not just sit down and say, church is whatever I can get out of it. It's good music, it's good pastoring, preaching. No, it carries out in the home. And the mission field is not just Indonesia. It is not just Africa. It is right here. And I tell you, they are in Kenya, they are more on fire. They are more hungry than you see them here. It takes a lot of work to get somebody saved. There is a lot of apathy. So I'm not preaching. I don't put anybody down. I just want to say, I want to call, guys. I want to call you to something that is greater that God has called us to. Just like when Hudson Taylor had this call. May we have the call. We're here. How many has grandkids? You just want to see them saved. How many has kids? Just want to see them touched. I want to end it with this story. Are you okay with me? I haven't. It's just on my heart lately. I read this story to a courageous, is that what it's called? Something like that. And it's a story about Stephanie Evans. Stephanie Evans get miraculously saved as she's in the military by a sergeant who loves her, brings the gospel to her. She's a fiery little lady, and she wants to go to the end of the world to help establish missions. And for those who are in the Philippines, I want to tell you a story. She ends up in the Philippines and she's a medic training. And she has a mission in the dumps of Manila. and they go and treat the kids and feed them and bring the gospel. So this is acres of acres of burning garbage. Can you just imagine the stink and the horrible way they live? And one day, measles breaks out among the kids. And the kids, half of the kids she knows, dies. One funeral after another. She's just heartbroken. And what happens? She closes her heart. When she sees kids, she's thinking, that kid's going to die. I don't want to love that kid. And one day, she's walking by, and she sees a kid sitting on the trail. She's walking, and he's skin and bones, and he's diseased, and he's going to die, she thinks. She gives him some food, walks away. Next day, she comes by, and he's still sitting there. She's surprised he's still alive. She gives him some food. She walks again. Then, in the middle of the night, she has a dream. The little boy is going to heaven. And in heaven, you hear a conversation between the boy and Jesus. And he says, on earth, no one loved me. No one loved me. She realizes this is a message from God. She jumps out of her bed and she runs and runs down the trail, hoping that he's still alive. She brings him some food and picks him up and brings him home. He couldn't walk for some months. She puts him in a backpack, and whenever she walks on her trails, she walks, has him with her. And she says, that little child taught her how to love again. She paid a price. What was the price she paid? The price was to take the risk of loving somebody who may never love her back, who may never, ever live. He lived and went to school because he responded to the heart of God. Amen. Let's stand. Father, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us, Father, for being so consumed with what we want? So consumed with our own comfort. So consumed with our own pain that we miss what you called us to do. Help us, Father, to look to you and identify how you lay down your life for the sake of others. And Father, would you help us to do the same? Would you lead us as sons and daughters of God to see your kingdom go forth? And Lord, I especially want to pray for that next generation of lost kids. And some of them are our own lost kids. Some of them are our own grandkids. Father, I pray for them. And I want to pray also for the church, that we will not stand back from the true calling you've given us. And so, Lord, help us to pay that price and to pursue all that you have for us. And as Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, when he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I want to participate in your suffering, God. Forgive me when I choose not to. Help me. Help all of us, Lord. to embrace the suffering that you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.